Genesis chapter 17, and we're going to be reading from verse 15. Genesis 17 and verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house and bought with money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his word. God here in this little passage that we've read together today repeats the promise of a son and heir to Abraham. But this time, he also confirms that Sarai, or her new name is Sarah, and that means that she is going to be the mother of many nations. The Lord God confirms that Sarah would be the mother to this child. Now, in the past, that had been assumed, but it had not been actually stated. And it may well be that since there had been quite a number of years, it would appear to be something like certainly in excess of 10 years since God had perhaps spoken this directly with Abraham, that Abraham had looked to Ishmael to be that one who would be his heir. But God comes again and he confirms and reinforces his purpose to leave the covenant, this everlasting covenant with Isaac. And so Sarah's name is changed, and that becomes also a mark of this promise and of God's blessing to Abraham and his wife. And we read that Abraham laughed. But we should not imagine that that was disrespectful. That laugh was a laugh of joy, not unbelief towards God. It was a laugh at the joyful news that here was God again speaking to Abraham. And here was God again reaffirming that this great promise that he had made would indeed be fulfilled and forthcoming. Abraham was amazed at this news, given that both parents were so old, Abraham 100 and Sarah 90 years of age. And Abraham believed God. It wasn't that there was unbelief here. Abraham believed God, and we see that from the words and the actions of Abraham that follow. We see it from the fact that he prayed for Ishmael, realizing that the blessing that was coming to him in the birth of Isaac meant that any birthright that Ishmael aspired to was going to pass him by. And it also showed in the fact that he immediately received this circumcision, which was the sign of this covenant, both he and Ishmael and all his house. I might just touch upon that in a few moments. But there were hundreds and hundreds of people involved in being circumcised that day. If it was all of his house, remember that there were hundreds had gone out as armed men from Abraham's household a few chapters ago against that confederacy of kings. So we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of people here. And also that Abraham publicly testified to his faith in God and to his belief in these promises. And you young people who are listening here at this time, I think that it would be good for you to realize that just in the same way as Abraham prayed to God on Ishmael's behalf, so the desire of your parents is that you too might live before God. That just as Abraham prayed for Ishmael that he might live before God, so your prayers, your parents desire that also for you. And that is a good prayer for parents to make on behalf of their children and indeed their grandchildren. Let us pray that the Lord would bless our children, and let us pray that our children might live before God. But God reinforces his purpose. In Isaac, God's covenant would continue. God's blessing would pass by Ishmael, and it would flow through the line of Isaac to the accomplishment and achievement of God's purpose. Now, principally, that was in the land possession. It was to flow to Abraham's children through Isaac. But it is also, and more importantly, for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom salvation would be accomplished and won for all God's elect people. And this bypassing of Ishmael and the giving of that covenant promise to Isaac is a picture of God's sovereignty in these great decisions and in these great purposes. It was God who decided who the heir of the promise would be. The immediate circumcision of all in Abraham's house showed the clearness with which Abraham understood God's instruction and God's meaning in this matter. And as we've already suggested, it would have been a huge, huge task for all of those people to be circumcised there on that day. But we can only but assume that God moved the hearts of all those concerned to conform to this painful and a very personal act. And yet we see that there was this unity, and We're not told how it was actually effected, but it may be that there were a few who were taught to do it, and then others were able to perform that circumcision. But all of it spoke of faith on Abraham's part. Faith in God and in the promise of a son to come and the heritage that that son would possess, especially with regard to the coming of the Saviour of the world. God revealed his plan and Abraham trusted God's word. And it's in that sense that Abraham is the father of all who believe. I want to show you one important thing, and then we're finished with this stage of the service today. It's a good thing for us to remember, and it's an important point. The circumcision didn't bring Isaac, but it showed that Abraham believed that a son would be born into his household, that he would father the son and Sarah would be the mother. God told Abraham what he was going to do. God told Abraham that he himself, God, was Abraham's shield and his reward, that God would be his defender and God would supply his need, that God would enable righteousness and grant and bestow that righteousness to Abraham by another's righteousness. And Abraham believed God. It wasn't Abraham's act of believing that was counted to him for righteousness, but it was the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Jeremiah calls the Lord our righteousness. It was he in whom Abraham trusted and Abraham believed. Trusting Christ does not cause our salvation, but it is the evidence of God's saving grace in our lives. May the Lord be pleased to grant us that saving faith. May the Lord open our eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ as the alone righteousness of his people. And may we be caused to trust in him who alone can take away our sins and bring us into union with the holy God. Amen.